The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this Halloween will mark the 25th Trick or Treat campaign run by Children's Health Foundation, which aims to raise funds for the vital work of the foundation. I'm joined now by Emma Fratangelo, a healthcare play specialist with Children's Health Ireland, to talk about the importance of this campaign and how it can actually help her own work. Emma, good morning and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Now, this trick-or-treat has been going for 25 years.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
What happens?
So the trick-or-treat campaign is run by the Children's Health Foundation. Communities, schools, individuals, creches can sign up if they would like to host a trick-or-treat party, and they will get sent out a pack that has all your supplies ready for the party to help you host. And then any funds that are raised during that, whether it's on Halloween night or maybe it's a pre-Halloween celebration, will get donated back to the Children's Health Foundation. And those funds will go directly into supporting the children in within our four hospital sites.
Okay, now the foundation, it kind of raises funds for things that the state really doesn't provide. Is that it?
Yeah, it raises funds for a lot of different things, particularly for our role. I work within the Healthcare Play Service, and they raise funds that support our work. We, as health play specialists, work directly with the children providing play opportunities within the hospital, and we would use a lot of items for that work. Play is the nature of our job, and toys and play equipment are what we need to do that. And often those are used quite frequently. Some of them would even be consumables. So they really support us in being able to provide those activities to patients on the ground.
Now, people will wonder, what kind of a job is that? Playing yeah. all day. It sounds great. Absolutely great. But there is very much an important function to this play. And you have a number of different kinds of play. What's normalizing play, first of all?
Yeah, so normalizing play. So what we would do in the hospital, one of the key things is to help normalize the hospital environment and provide normal play opportunities for children when they're in hospital. The hospital can be a very different environment to what children are used to. It can be overstimulating at times and can even be unfamiliar or scary. So we work to provide play to help children feel more comfortable and allow them to kind of assimilate all the information that's coming to them while they're in the hospital system.
Then there's therapeutic play, and there is a purpose to this play.
Yeah. So we would use play therapeutically within a lot of our work, particularly with medical play and or preparation play. So that would be work where we would go in with the patient, particularly to help them with an upcoming procedure or event that might be happening, or even a new diagnosis. And we would use that play to allow them to understand in their own language or in a developmentally appropriate way to what is happening to them, what to expect, and also to help them kind of process their own emotions around that.
So if they're going to have a procedure, the preparation play will kind of turn maybe the experience that's coming into some sort of adventure.
Yeah. We would often bring in all of the items, whether it's play play items or the real medical equipment as well. And then we might use that equipment on a doll or even the patient's favorite teddy. And we can then show them exactly what's going to happen. So, for example, a blood draw is a really common procedure that we see in hospital. We would bring in all the equipment and we would let the patient walk through that procedure with us while we do it on their teddy or on their doll. And then that gives them a chance to become familiar with the procedure before it happens, to feel comfortable with it, and to also learn what their job is and to discuss maybe their own coping strategies, what works well for them.
And when children have a permanent or semi-permanent cannula inserted, I know in St. John's in Crumlin, for example, it's referred to as Freddie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a softer name, a softer touch, and a bit more friendly. So we can give all of their dolls a Freddy as well. Sometimes we send patients home with a Freddy in their doll, and they can even practice at home, especially if they're coming in for repeated blood procedures.
Now, some of these procedures are intrusive, invasive, and you can use play during those very procedures to distract.
Yeah. So distraction and redirection are a huge tool to use for any medical procedure. Even as adults, it's helpful for us as well. So with kids, we like to meet them if we have the chance before the procedure starts. And then that's where we can talk about what would work. What would you like to do? Would you like to sit on mom's lap, or would you like to sit by yourself? Would you like to play a game or tell a story, sing songs, blow bubbles? There's so many different options. It's very child-led, and we allow them to kind of decide what coping mechanisms work best for them.
Now, we're always talking about feedback. So is there a kind of a post-procedural play where you try to play with the kids to find out what they really thought?
Yeah. So sometimes, especially after a difficult procedure, post-procedural play can be really helpful. It looks different for each child. Sometimes it's simply just letting them play to allow for them to have a space to de-stress and to kind of come down from a very heightened experience. Other times it might look like playing through the procedure and allowing them to kind of talk about what worked or what didn't work. What could we try next time?
Now, the question is, how do adults like yourself get into sort of the head of the child? Because you're dealing with children, not maybe exclusively teenagers, not maybe exclusively babies, but everything from all the way through. You know?
Yeah, 0 to 18 would be what we typically see within hospital. And it's really about meeting the child where they're at, getting onto their level and letting them know that our job when we walk into the room is to support them and kind of figuring out what they need and then working from there.
Now, how do you train for this?
Yeah, so at the moment, all training to become a health play specialist. So actually, within our service, within the healthcare service in CHI, we have staff that are, we have play assistants, we have health play specialists, and we have senior play specialists. So our play assistants provide normalizing play and developmental play across the hospital, and they're absolutely brilliant. Our health play specialists would do a bit more of the specialized play work that we just discussed. And to do that role, you typically have to train within the UK. So there is a health play specialism course that's offered at the moment in the UK, hopefully eventually one day maybe in Ireland.
Mm. Now, people listening to this will wonder about, you know, what do you wear every day? Do you wear a costume? Do you wear like a teddy bear costume if you're dealing with a four-year-old, or what do you do?
We wear scrubs just like every other healthcare professional. At the moment we have different uniforms and different sites, but eventually I think we will all be in the same color when we move. But we just wear a very friendly color. At the moment in Crumlin and Tallaght it's yellow, and in Temple Street they wear these lovely patterned tunic tops.
Now, where does the play happen? I mean, obviously if someone is immobilized in a bed, it has to happen around the bed. I mean, you've got to entertain and get involved around the bed. But are there dedicated play areas in the different hospitals?
Yeah, so across all of our sites, we do have play areas. There's play rooms in both Temple Street, Tallaght and Crumlin. And then in Connolly, that's an urgent care centre. So a lot of that play happens more at the bedside. But they do also have a multi-sensory room as well in the waiting area.
What have you got in store in St James when the paediatric hospital opens? You've seen the plans, I'm sure, for your activities.
Yeah, and I've been lucky enough to be on site as well. And it's brilliant. It's going to massively improve our service. We have a lovely dedicated play centre that will be accessible to all of our patients and our families when they're in hospital. There's also play zones on each of the ward levels, and the rooms are lovely and will offer loads of space for play at the bedside as well for any of our patients who can't come to the play spaces.
Now, it's 25 years of the Trick or Treat, and you want this one, I'm sure, to be bigger and better and more successful than all the others.
Yeah. What the Children's Health Foundation does for the Children's Health Ireland is absolutely brilliant. And the generosity of the donors and the families that contribute is absolutely amazing. And it's so beneficial. So we're really hoping that people can come out and celebrate this Halloween with us, and any donations that they can back to the Children's Health Foundation would be absolutely brilliant.
And to get the pack, because there is a pack they will send out if you ask for one, which gives you some of the ingredients for your Halloween party.
Yeah, they can visit the Children's Health Foundation website, which is childrenshealth.ie and then /trick-or-treat.
Okay, so that's childrenshealth.ie/trick-or-treat. Emma Fratangelo, healthcare play specialist with Children's Health Ireland, thank you very much for joining us. Well, now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.